It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. It's Friday, May 28, 2010. Good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy. After all, it is Friday. So every single Friday, the revolution continues with Jet Lacy comes right on in and does a coup d'etat on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And, well, he lets me come in and use the studio to take over, too. So I don't know how much of a coup d'etat it is. But it is an absolutely beautiful day, and here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, it is going to be a little toasty today. You know, the good times are pretty much over here, getting towards the end of May. It's getting real hot real quick, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on, so we got to keep it hot because there is a lot of things going on with regard to the New World Order, and the New World Order is really, really stepping up what they're up to. And we're going to talk a lot about a lot of different subjects today. And again, I'd love to hear from you, 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. I got a really, really special guest in studio with me today. Of course, she's not here. She's actually couch surfing at my house, and she's on her way. I don't know. Hopefully, she'll be here after the break. But a good friend, Brooke Kelly, who I met at the Freedom Summit last year. And because, you know, with freedom activists, you know, it really is sort of a lot of them, the young kids today are sort of like modern day hippies, the real ones that went around. They don't really have regular jobs, but they're doing their work as activists, basically on a, I guess, a volunteer level. And they rely completely on donations, and they travel around the country spreading the message of liberty and just taking donations along the way. And there's quite a few activists. I've had some of them on the show, like Catherine Bleich and John Bush, who's also a friend of Brooke and I. So I, being part of this freedom movement, I've really got to, in the last year and a half, met a lot of really nice people. And my wife actually calls it the Freedom Hotel, because I can't say no when people need to spend a couple of days couch surfing, and especially because I live just a quarter mile here from the Freedoms with an S Phoenix .com studios. So it's just one of those things. It's one of the things that I can offer. I can throw a hot meal down their throats and give them a place to stay, and that's the way that I choose to support my fellow freedom fighters, because I'm married with a home, and I can't go running around doing whatever I want to do forever, because then I wouldn't be married for very long. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk to Brooke. She just rolled in the door, you know, looking a little tired. You get some good rest there, Brooke. Come on in. You know, we only got a minute to go. Then we'll talk to you after the next segment. Okay. But she's a really good person. She kind of had a little breakdown of her car. It blew up all the way good in, Flagstaff just a couple of days ago. So I was like, well, come on down to Phoenix. We'll see what we can do and give you a place to stay. We'll try to get you back up on the road, because, you know, when you're in the middle of nowhere and by yourself, it's really hard. So when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, we're going to jump right into it with Brooke Kelly. Love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back in just a minute. Hold on.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy, taking over Declare Your Independence every Friday. What a great day we're having. I'm just having a great time. I got a really good friend staying over at my house. It was sort of unexpected, and that's always better. It's my friend, Brooke Kelly. So I'm going to introduce everybody to Brooke, and I'd like you to take a minute to just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, y'all. I'm Brooke Kelly. I am an activist traveling around the country and had an unexpected breakdown and ended up, fortunately, in good company here with Jet Lacy. But I've done quite a few things. I fought on the front lines at G20. I was at the Obama town hall meeting wherein I got arrested. Actually got arrested 4 times last year for civil disobedience. And so I'm making it my goal to not get arrested, hopefully at all this year. I think the superstar activists are the ones who are getting away with it.
What superstar activists? Like yourself?
No. Jason Burmes was awesome last year at G20. Mm. He got in, he got the footage, and he got out. And I he's an inspiration to me, and a lot of people are. So,
Jason Burmes, a bunch of those guys from another network got arrested when they were there. So, it's one of those things that just happens because, and I'll tell you why, this type of thing does not happen. What happened in G20 in Pittsburgh last year would never happen in Phoenix, Arizona. Do you want to know why? Because you can carry without any permit. You can carry a concealed weapon now here in Arizona. And I tell you what, they would not pull the same shenanigans here that they did there. And that's exactly why.
So I believe it.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Or a little bit more about yourself. We can get into G20 a little bit later.
Well, I started off working with Restore the Republic. I had my final wake-up phase when I saw America, Freedom to Fascism. Mm-hmm. And that just kicked it off for me. I looked all around me. I was living in Hollywood at the time. I was doing red carpet events and fashion shows. And I looked around me, and it just all became empty and meaningless. And in 2 hours, couple hours it took me to watch that film. And I couldn't go on like that. I'd gotten to a point where it wasn't going to work. So I quit everything. I dropped all my clients. I'd been working with Glamour magazine for 4 years. I put in my notice with them, up and quit everybody else, and got off on the road. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I had to do something. And it just all seemed scary at first, but now that I'm working towards solutions, it's a lot better. It feels a lot better.
You know, someone much wiser than me once said about the New World Order and what's going on in the world, it starts with investigating one lie, and then a universe opens up. You start investigating one thing, you're like, whoa, this doesn't pass the smell test, okay? There's something afoot here, and something stinks, and I want to know what it is. And then you end up opening this door, and if you really take the time to look into it, it just opens this huge door of like, oh my God, everything that we've ever been taught our whole lives is a lie.
It's the real Pandora's box.
Yes, and it's really scary and it's really sad because most people just want to be left alone. Like Ernest always says, there's two kinds of people in this world, those that want to be left alone and those that just won't leave you alone. And there's, unfortunately, the people with all the bucks don't want to leave you alone. So that's why we're in the mess we're in today, right?
Truly.
So tell us a little bit more about, what you've been up to, what kinds of activism that you do. This show, I consider, Brooke, an education show. And so the reason I have you on the show today, of course, it's an opportune time to have you on. But I really try to teach the people out there listening what you can do to make it fun. You're always having a good time. You're always doing your thing, making a difference. You know, tell us a little bit more about your particular brand of activism.
Well, I started off not knowing which way to go, but I was inspired by Ron Paul, actually. And so I got into the Liberty Movement. After RTR, I switched over and started working with different organizations who were working within the system. And so I guess last year I was just still trying to find myself. I was calling myself the truth fairy, which we know fairies don't like to be caged. So what I learned in the end is that I'm an out of the system type of girl. I started Freedom Ride last year, Freedom Ride 2009, which was in honor of the Freedom Rides that had come before in the 60s, because the black people were raging against the injustices towards them. So they were riding for not only to try to eliminate the prejudices, but they were still angry about slavery. And this is the neo-slavery. So I brought up the Freedom Rides again because people think slavery is dead in America, and it's not. It's just that now it's a class war. It's not a black and white issue so much anymore.
Well, the thing is, I always say that the New World Order makes us all N-words. We are all on the same plantation now. They have used, they take all these things, they single out one group at a time, like say during the 60s, and then that one group has enough and they have it changed. But we talked a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember who I was talking with. It was Ross Kenyon, the activist, another young activist, and we were talking about social justice. Social justice, they try to make it a good term, but it really keeps everybody down at the same level, where freedom brings everybody up to the level of which they're capable of, right?
Totally. I mean, we don't need to go, it's not about punishment, it's about being self-determined.
And it's not about making everybody the same, because we're not all made the same, but we should have the opportunity to be the best that we can be.
Right, and at my best, I like to fly.
Yeah. So, you know, how long have you been in the freedom movement?
I would say since the end of 07.
So we're talking almost, you know, 2.5 years.
Right. But I've been an activist my whole life. I mean,
right.
Since I was like 5 years old, I've always just been involved with different things. But I finally found the one thing that's the most important, which is the big picture.
Right.
Instead of working on the details like environment or homelessness or, you know, pets rights or whatever it is. I mean, this really hits at the core of what is going wrong with this planet.
Well, I'm trying to make a point here. You know, you've been in the freedom movement for 2.5 years. How old are you?
I'm about to have a birthday.
Yeah?
I'm 31.
Wow. I thought you were younger than that, but you're still a young activist. But this is the thing. People find out these things at various times, and there's a lot of people that are very, very young and still trying to find their way, but yet they have the big picture all figured out. And I didn't have it figured out at your age. I mean, I got, you know, over a dime spot on you. You know, and I didn't have it figured out until I lost everyone, you know, my rights when I became a felon. And when you lose your rights, I tell you, they become a lot more important. And when you go to these activities like you go to, you also tend to, you see your rights being taken away because the authorities, the powers that be, treat you differently than you get seen. You see people treated on a normal basis. I'm sorry. Right?
Definitely.
I'm tripping over my words a little bit this morning. I don't know why I'm not feeling too tight, but we're going to get it going today here, man. So tell us a little bit about what activism and there's so many different angles that you can take from the freedom movement. And you can't fixate on all of them. I stick with the economy usually because it's something I can prove. What are the things that are most important to you in order to bring awareness to the people about, you know, our rights?
I just kind of go after everything. I don't want to be the activist that just focuses on one thing. I think a lot of people are doing that, and it's excellent because it makes them an expert on the topic. I have just been kind of looking at the big picture. It's something that's really been weighing down on me a lot lately is what they're doing with our food. They're laced with drugs. You can't even call it food anymore. It's not nourishment. It's a drug, and it is slowly hurting and harming people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just continue to eat it thinking, well, you know, I won't worry about the day. But they're betting on the fact that we're going to put it off until it finally does harm us. And I believe we've been eating this since the 80s. You know, it's a lifelong thing already.
Why do you think that what is the ultimate purpose of feeding us bad food, in your opinion?
I think that what they're really after is not money, because as we know, they can print off money just like that. And once you have all the money in the world, what do you want? Power.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are sick and homeless and hungry and, you know, struggling, then they're not going to be able to fight the man. You know, my life was interrupted and I just, you know, got out there and forged ahead and started, you know, but not everybody has that mentality when they're down.
Right. And, you also did a thing for, you know, Gary Franchi. Well, we'll talk about when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy. We got a really special guest, so we'd love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. If you have any questions about someone that is in the front line in the fight for our individual liberties, so give us a call. We'll be right back in just a minute.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone. But you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
Indeed, if you are listening to this, you are the resistance. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And the Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy. We're talking to Brooke Kelly about the resistance. We are the resistance. And I heard someone say just the other day, and it was so profound, because we're all of that age. You know, hopefully we got a lot of years left on this life. You know, a lot of us activists. And someone someday is going to ask you, what you did. What did you do in the great culling of the herd? And what I'm here to do is I'm here to awaken my fellow man, because I care about you and I care about your lives, and I don't want to see you go to some FEMA camp or to be unceremoniously culled from the herd that we call humanity. And so that's why I have Brooke Kelly on here, because she is on the very front line of what we are doing as a group in order to fight the New World Order. We don't have the money, we don't have the resources, but we have our individual liberties that we are demanding on a day-by-day basis. And that is all you can do. No one is going to give you your rights. You have to demand them. And that's what we're here to do, and that's why I have Brooke Kelly on the show. You know, aside from the fact that it was very convenient because you're staying at my crib right now, but you know, you got to take what you can get, right? So tell us a little bit about, you know, you did a whole segment on the Georgia Guidestones. And on this show, I'm a little bit more hardcore about the New World Order than Ernie is. And I talk about it, and I help people understand what they're doing to us. And again, the New World Order is their word. It's not my word. It's not something I made up. This is what they call their global government and global governance, run by an oligarchy of bankers and corporate entities. And that's the New World Order, and they want to make less of us because they can't control us all. And you did, you know, it's basically the Stonehenge of the New World Order in Georgia. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was inspired by Alex Jones when I saw it on Endgame. And I wanted to go out and check it out for myself. I hadn't heard of it before. And he actually misreported something on there, and I wanted to clear this up. But he said that it was someone who works with the government. It wasn't necessarily, or at least by my research, the guy who did it claimed that he did not work with the government. But either way, you know, the tenants posted on there, the 10 tenants for supposedly healthy, happy living, straight from the top, it says that the population may not rise over so many million
500.
People, 500 million people. And the second one speaks to eugenics as well. And then from there, they get a little bit better. But you know, since when is that okay for a government official or any ordinary person to go put up a erect a stone that says that I need to die? Because I know that I'm one of the targets that they're coming
that
after.
That is, if you divide it, that is over a 95% reduction in population that they are looking for.
And you know that they want you and I, right? I
mean, absolutely.
They want the people who are going to stay are the ones who are going to comply with every single wish that they have.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, in fact, a government-related thing. But I have met a lot of people who think that that's a good idea to just go, you know, eliminating people. And I think it's kind of sick and morbid.
I mean, I have to face my own maker someday, and I don't know. You know, I say I'm a deist on this show. I believe in a higher power with every bit of who I am. I just don't subscribe to any religion. But the thing is, I know that I'm going to have to meet my maker. I know that I'm here for a reason. I know I'm here to try to leave this place a better place than what I got it. And we have to keep fighting for that regardless of some people. And it's unfortunate that they're just so wrong. But what's really unfortunate is they have so much power and money behind them that they can make this come about. And if you look at the food that they're, like, getting back to what you were saying, it's just we have the worst food possible. Like, other countries even don't have it. Because we are armed, and we're one of the last armed countries in the world, they're attacking us the hardest. Wouldn't you say?
Truly. And the problem with the food is people say, oh, well, you know, I'll just buy it from Whole Foods. For instance, I went to Whole Foods and I found that there's drugs in their foods just the same. So it's sick to think that we would have to go to a special grocery store to get food that actually is good for you.
Yeah, I watched Food Inc. recently, and it didn't swear me off meat like it did a lot of people, but I tell you what, I think a little bit about every piece of flesh that I eat now, because in order for that creature, and I'm not a PETA person, even though I love animals, you know, I also believe that, you know, PETA should mean people that eat tasty animals, but it doesn't mean you have to abuse, and you can still get your food without abuse. And what this is, like, they just show chickens that never see the light of day. They just make them so big. Everybody likes a big chicken breast, so they can't even stand up. They never see the light of day. It's just sick what we're doing. And I want to play a clip a little bit later on about, you know, how we treat our animals is a good reflection about how we treat each other and ourselves. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues, and me, Jet Lacy, we'll jump back into it with Brooke Kelly. Be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
We rock and don't stop. When it's the super cat, the fatalistic, and the island toast, and middle major, tattoo, bag of trees, is the way we get our kick. We're qualifying, rectifying, rocking.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues, and me, Jet Lacy, we're having a good time here with Brooke Kelly, and we have a caller, Dan in Texas. Are you there with us, Dan?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, brother? What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, when you talk about the, you know, how things are controlled by like powerful people, my wife's teacher at a private school where rich kids can go. I call it a rich kids orphanage.
Right.
It's a dormitory, and basically people who travel or parents who don't want their kids but can afford this thing. And we know sometimes they'll just say, we don't want our kid and it's yours. And so that once in a while they just throw the kid out in the street or call CPS because they got any, what else can they do?
Uh-huh.
And the kid just run away or something. But the ones at CPS, we found out, they get in trouble with the law. At least one's gotten to go pregnant when he's locked up in CPS and escaped and ran away. But I kept up with these guys. One of three of them asked me to be their father, which I could afford to. I'd take them in a minute. But what I'm calling for is they end up getting jobs that basically no one would do unless you're just at the point of committing suicide. By that I mean working in the refineries in horribly, horribly terrible heat and filthy jobs, with putting bricks in furnaces and things in refineries that you could beat anybody that whipped can do this. So the only job they can get. And I think that's how sick our society has become. These kids are simply just a mill of generation after generation of worse than slaves. And they'll get tired of doing it. And when there's a hurricane, they'll go out and fix people's houses. They roam the street homeless. And it's a mechanism. It's a society. I guess all 50 states do it, but Texas sure as hell does it. And these kids are just being used like machines, and no one cares about them. The police hate them because they're ex-convicts, most of them. And they became ex-convicts because they ran around on the street and got in trouble with other people that really were ex-convicts and turned them into ex-convicts. They didn't even do anything serious. Like being like sitting in a car, and when a car was robbed one time, they sat in the car and it was 14 years old.
Right.
Then they go to CPS. Then they go to Texas State Prison. Then they're an ex-convict.
Right. And
there are lots of them. I mean, it's insane. And the judges treat these kids like... Well, one of them called me from the courthouse, said he would live in my garage because he's got to have the judge, he has a place to stay.
Right, and this was a kid that was at a boarding school, and the money ran out, and he just got kicked out of the school?
His picture case, his mother and father got divorced, and they went crazy and just forgot. He ran off and left him, both of them.
Wow.
And, oh, yeah, it's insane. I wish I could think of this stuff to tell you. It's horrifying. And these kids are just used for a workforce. It's inhuman.
Well, they really, if you notice, everything goes to protect the corporations.
Amen to that.
Everything, there's no, like, and that's what is so indicative of a society that is just in ruins because we were meant to be free, but everything is protecting the corporate interests to the detriment of the worker themselves. And I tell you what, brother, I'm no communist, but... You know, there are libertarian fixes to these kind of problems, and it's certain to me those fixes are not the same as what the communists, you know, and all these worker organization groups, like what are the same groups that are out there protesting the immigration stuff. That is not the answer.
I know. I mean, well, I'm a veteran, proud of it, and every time I pull the trigger, I'm proud as hell of it, too. And I think this is fun. But the people just don't know the crap, the hell that goes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, I have an example to give you.
Look at those people at the spill. You know, they're getting sick trying to clean this spill up.
Well, absolutely.
And Brooke, actually, is from New Orleans. And so her, she could probably speak a little bit more about that. Do you have another point you want to talk about, Dan?
Yes, sir. I can't think of all of them. There's a lot more, though.
Well, thank you so much for calling, brother. You want to speak to that?
Yeah, he can thank Bill Clinton for that, actually, because Bill Clinton's the one who signed the bill into law saying that they were going to give monetary incentives to every CPS organization for every child that they take out of the home. It's something like $6,000. And if they put them on psych medications, they up it to like $8,000. So they're kidnapping these children, putting them on drugs. And it's actually in the Communist Manifesto. That's you know, one of the ideas that Hitler had, that it would be a great idea if we just go and break up families arbitrarily. Again, like we said earlier, to keep people having problems, keep them sick, keep them down so that they can't fight the man.
It's me. They do. They put all these kids on dope. Is it Prozac? I mean, they just sock it to them.
Babies. Two-year-olds.
That's my thing. You know, he hasn't been able to talk about it because he's in the court case, but soon he's going to plead. And my friend Jim, that, you know, I talk about him on the show a lot, his wanted poster is actually up by the front door that he posted up there himself at the downtown Freedoms Phoenix studios. He was in a custody battle, and he just did not want his child to be given Adderall. And Adderall is three kinds of amphetamines, including methamphetamine. So it's the same methamphetamine that they will put someone in prison for 20 years over, and they're forcing that young man at 9 years of age to take it. So he did the only thing that he felt that he could, and ran off. Well, I thank you again for the call, Dan. I appreciate it. You're always welcome to call. I enjoy talking with you anytime. Anybody else would love to hear from you. 800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Come talk to Brooke Kelly. So what's next on your mind, girl?
I just, the main point that I wanted to get across is that we can do something. You know, we can be proactive. And even if we're just taking small steps, I feel so empowered, and I don't even really think I've done anything great. It's just that I've gotten out there and I started working and I made it fun. And, I mean, these things are going to happen one way or another unless we have a total social uprising. I mean, the world is going to go on. These things are going to happen. So we might as well, you know, stick our neck out there and fight for what we can. And you know, there's got to always be somebody on the front lines. There always needs to be somebody there because they will push and push and push. And unless there's someone there to push back, they don't know where that line is and they will redefine it. Mm-hmm. And they won't just take a little bit. They'll take a little bit at first, but they're coming back for all of it.
So what are you going to say when someone asks you way down the line what you did when the great upheaval came?
I focus on civil disobedience. The original Freedom Riders did. They rode down on a bus at a time where they were not supposed to be on the bus, on a Greyhound, actually. I'm still mad at Greyhound about this. But from D.C. to New Orleans, and they were stopped in Birmingham. They were pulled off the bus, beaten, and jailed there. So I try to practice civil disobedience as well. You know, whatever they say that I can't do, as long as I'm not harming somebody, I beg to differ. I can do those things, and we have done them. And then therein, you know, the media gets involved because there's a story there. It's really too bad that you can't just call up the media and say, hey, there's a rights violation over here. Can you cover it? It's like you really got to, you know, amp it up to where they can't ignore it, where they have to tell that story. And it's sad. I come from mainstream media. So, I was in that office sitting there told by my boss to ignore these important stories that were coming across my desk. And I finally just said, I'm done with this. I got to really do something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all these major newscasters, and I'm not talking even the major ones in national, even local. Because I was talking to a couple of them, and they all have content editors, which they are just fed the content from their editors, and that is it. They are nothing more than talking heads. They are told they're reading a teleprompter, saying exactly what they're told to say. There's very, very few in the mainstream media, if any, that actually have full journalistic control over what they're saying.
It's the people at the very top. As I saw when I was working with the Beverly Hills Courier, I don't color in the lines. So the little list that they want us to stick to about topics to talk about, I'm just not going to do it. It's like you said yesterday, if you're not going to play fair, I'm not going to play with you at all. You know, I'm going to play with somebody else. So.
Yeah, or I'm going to play by myself. You know, I find myself interesting enough that I can... I don't need to play with somebody else if you're going to try to censor what I'm saying. If you're going to try to tell me what I can and cannot say, I really don't want to play.
Right. Well, I was working, I had a double client with the Beverly Hills Courier and Design Magazine. And I went out and with the protesters in LA, got out with these immigrants and started saying, no, I mean, these people do have rights, you know? Mm-hmm. And the editor at the last minute pulled the story and inserted instead an editorial saying that actually, no, they have no rights. You know, they are less than us and they need to go back to their own dang country.
But the thing is, though, is I don't care if it's Al-Qaeda, which is fake anyway, but whatever they're called. Calling it Al-Qaeda means the list. That's all it means. And Al-Qaeda means the list that the CIA were funding these people, and then they flipped the script on them and they ended up being the terrorist group. But actually the Al-Qaeda as it is right now is a creation of the CIA, and everything that they talk about Al-Qaeda is meant to, it's all false flag. There are some terrorists out there, but you'd be a terrorist too if someone came Red Dawn style and invaded Texas or Arizona or New York. People from California would drive to New York if it was invaded. And then are they terrorists too? Because they're fighting the insurgency? You know, and the basically the invasion of their nations.
I know I'm a terrorist, I've been told.
Yeah. And, you know, Ernest, when the Southern Poverty Law Center comes out, actually, the first interview I ever got on tape was with Heidi Beirich from the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Drew, who we both know, I love Drew.
Drew's great.
But He accidentally forgot to push the play,
no.
the record button when I got my interview. But it ended up turning out really well because Ernie ended up, I was like, oh, we didn't get it. But Ernie ended up reaching out to Heidi Beirich and has been on the show numerous times. And Ernie handles her so well because he's like, I want to be on the list. And he like hammers her like, how come I'm not on the list? How come I'm not on your terrorist list? Oh, Ernie, you know Teresa. It's really if you engage these people and you allow them to know you, then they'll see that you're no real danger. It's easy to call someone a terrorist or easy to, you know, really call someone a name or to pigeonhole them into some category if you don't know them. But once you get to know someone, it's harder to do that type of thing. Wouldn't
right.
you agree?
Right. Well, that's the approach that Catherine Bleisch was taking. She was going straight up to the cops and saying, hi, my name is Catherine. You know, I work with Operation Defuse. We are not terrorists. We are good people. This is what we're doing. This is how we're helping society. And they were they have been successful in that.
Absolutely. No one else is doing that.
Right. I didn't make the list, but I looked at it, and I'll be dangin' if I don't hang out with every single one of those people. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, they're going to figure out something, but...
I think it's a point of pride if you're getting labeled a terrorist by the Southern Poverty Law Center. You're doing something right as far as I'm concerned.
If you're successful, they will come looking for you. And they've gone looking for even lesser successful people. They're just afraid. They're big scaredy cats. They're actually afraid of us to think that we would do something on a level of the mind.
Right.
You know, I don't really think that they sit in the Oval Office and worry about, you know, us packing guns and stuff. I think that that's the front that they put on for America. Oh, we think that they could be armed and stuff. Because they're watching our every move. They know we're not armed. You know, right. They know that we're not trying to fight like that. They know we're trying to fight with our mind. And that's an even more powerful tool.
But it's an incrementalism thing, too. Like, you look at... you just see little tidbits. If you really pay attention to the news, like they say, oh, drones are going to be covering the border around El Paso, you know, and then you start looking at, they said the drones were going to be covering both Olympics in 2012 and 2014.
How is that not terroristic?
It's fear-based. There is no real threat if we weren't being the evil entity of the world. The United States government and the CIA and the shadow government that is their bosses, that is the New World Order, is the evil entity. We are at the very forefront of the evil that is going on in this world. And therefore, as citizens of that country, not only do we have the responsibility to stop it, we as armed individuals have the ability to stop it. Wouldn't you agree?
We do. I mean, that's how this country started off, with us having the power. But America sat down and didn't go to work and didn't do their job like they should have. And the government was just happy to fill that spot. And that's what they've been doing. But all it takes is a little bit of unity and force by use of the mind, by coming together and knowing that we're strong and that we're powerful. We could put them right back in their place. I'm convinced.
That's the whole thing, though. They cannot. That's the reason they want us down to 500 million people, because that's the level of people that they feel need to work to create their lifestyles that they want to see fit. They want to keep us all in very tight corridored cities with nobody has a car. Everybody is on, you know, public transportation. And then the rest of the land is off limits. They want a pristine Eden for them and their families with 500 million slaves at their beck and call. And that sounds so fantastic to really hear that. But that
it's
is what they're working at.
People don't want to hear it. But if you want to know it, you can open up your eyes. You can open up your mind and you can say, I choose to see this. And you will see it manifest right in front of you on the streets. You know, you'll see how this is all coming together and it's working like this. And it's bad news. And it's not a fun job to tell people that. But with awareness of knowing that, it's like we could be so much better off.
And that's what I like about you, Brooke, is you go at it with love. It's about love of your fellow man. It's about being positive, because you do catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And if you really just humanize, that's a word that Catherine Blaise uses. If you really just humanize people and make them understand that we are all in the same boat. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues with Jet Lacy, we'll go to John in Georgia and we'll keep talking about this business. We'll be right back in just a minute. Hold on to your panties. We're coming back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock. I'm telling you I'm a sabotage.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. And The Revolution Continues to meet Jet Lacy. We got a caller that called in. His name is John from Georgia, and I guess he had to leave, so he didn't stay on.
No, Statmiller. That's John Statmiller's question. No, John's still there.
Oh, okay. We got a caller, John, in Georgia that we'd like to go to. I guess we had a little bit of a mix-up because we had a question online from John Stadmiller, the owner of the network. So it was a little. We had two Johns on same time. So we're going to go to John in Georgia right now. What's on your mind, brother? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to mention something about the whole, I know you were talking about children and how the state can take them away a little earlier, but the way you can prevent that is not that hard. And what you should do is if you're going to have children, do not get married. Do not get a marriage license. Because as soon as you do that, you give away your rights to your children. You just end up with custodial rights. Second thing is when you do have children, find out the list of public oracles, which is usually a bunch of newspapers in your state. And when your child is born, touch his or her foot to the ground of the hospital. You have plenty of witnesses there. And at that point, they become a sovereign state citizen, and you announce their birth for 3 weeks in a public oracle. Do not get a birth certificate or Social Security number. And at that point, that person that's born is not a corporate entity yet. So they are sovereign. They have not used any of these facilities provided by the corporate state to birth your child into the world.
Because they take, but how do you feel about, they take, they draw blood from children at birth, to test for certain things. And one of those, so that's something that we wouldn't even still have control over, because there is a private company that owns everybody born after, I believe, 1971, owns their DNA. So, they actually, there's a private company that owns the right to your genetics when you're born. So how do you get around that?
Well, here's the thing, okay? If your child is born sovereign as they can be, I mean, there's things you can do. Like, for example, they put this aluminum stuff in their eyes when they're born. It's like some drops.
Mm-hmm.
And they vaccinate them. They do a bunch of things that you can actually stop. And when your child is born, I don't know if you've ever had a child or not, but I was in the delivery room, the child's born, you're with that child when they take it into the next room, and they give it the shots and things. And all you have to do is have the paperwork with you and tell the nurse, don't you dare do that to my child.
That's smart.
Don't you dare do that to my child. And there's several things you can stop them from doing.
You can also hire a midwife.
You can do it at home, too. And you don't have to have the DNA sample done. But as soon as you try to put him in school and stuff, you run into some problems. Now, our child, unfortunately, I learned about this after his first vaccination in the hospitals. I learned about how bad vaccines really were. So he hasn't had any since. And we've had no problems getting him into schools through using forms and different types of things. It just, later on in life, it probably will become a headache, but we're still dealing with that. So anyway, and then the second thing is, you guys were talking about the United Nations being the spearhead, the evil empire kind of thing.
Yes.
But none of that can take place, and everyone talks about it, the banking system and all the individuals that kind of push the buttons for the leaders of all these countries. And none of this would be possible without that. Everything works together. And the Hegelian dialectic is much bigger than you think.
Mm-hmm.
These 9/11 instances and things like that are small little pieces in the giant Hegelian dialectic.
Absolutely. Everything that they do, government does, is fear-based.
Right, but it's not just the government. See, you're assuming that the government does everything. The government is just a tool, as one of the tools. Right. They might not even knowingly know they do it.
Right. Absolutely, brother.
There's a great scene from a movie, and I'll leave it at this, or a show, I think. I think, two episodes of this show called Fringe. And one of them was great, where he says, "We're actors in a play because you wouldn't be here in front of me asking me these questions if someone didn't want you to be here." And that person didn't know why they were there or who was putting them there, but they were there doing the bidding of someone else. And that's kind of what I'm suggesting.
Well, thank you so much for the call, John. We'll be back, and after a 1-minute break here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.